Chapter 19. Lucrative Lies. In a faint and rusty vibrato, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. began, as any skilled pitchman might, with a sympathetic story. "I apologize for my voice," he began, his strained speech diminutive compared to the oratory might of his father, Robert Bobby Kennedy, and that of his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. "I had a very, very strong voice until I was 42 years old in 1996, he said. He was speaking to thousands of people tuned into a virtual anti-vaccine conference, a couple of months ahead of the expected deployment of the COVID-19 vaccines. And then I got this. It's an injury called spasmodic dysphonia, which has mystified doctors for many, many years." His use of the word injury was curious. Spasmodic dysphonia is a neurological disorder, likely genetic, that affects the muscles in the larynx and inhibits speech. While it is true the disorder is something of a medical mystery, researchers believe it is inherited and typically not the result of a particular trauma. Kennedy continued the story in a cleverly non-linear way, jumping to and from points in his life decades apart, touching on his credentials, thereby condensing time and space to insinuate a cause and effect together. He got a flu vaccine in the mid-1990s, and around that time he began showing symptoms of a neurological disorder. Isn't that weird? It wasn't until recently that he'd connected the dots between his condition and an immunization he'd received 25 years before. The revelation came to him as he was doing research for a large lawsuit related to vaccines, though he did not specify the defendant. As he dug into the case, he said, "I was surprised to see that spasmodic dysphonia was one of the injuries, one of the side effects that was listed for the flu vaccine. That gave me the first clue that I never even suspected, that my injury to my throat may be a vaccine injury." It was but one of countless unproven, false, or misleading claims shared during a virtual 3-day conference in October 2020. There, in plain view, a small group of internet celebrities who profit from disseminating lies and misinformation presented their strategies for stoking distrust and fear of COVID-19 vaccines. As long as vaccines have existed, there have been enclaves of resistance, though nothing anywhere near as damaging as this. The event was organized by the National Vaccine Information Center, which since the 1980s has promoted debunked claims about vaccines causing autism in children, among other claims. But now they were motivated and legitimated by politicians and even some irresponsible media outlets. Kennedy, wearing a thin blue tie and crisp white shirt, and with hundreds of books stacked to the ceiling in his background, leaned into this computer's camera and his audience. "We're seeing an inflection of events that is bringing our issue to the forefront," he said. "Vaccines are talked about every day on all the news shows. Very unusual for us because we've been encountering censorship from the beginning and not allowed to have this discussion. The discussion is still heavily, heavily censored. And the point of view that people are getting is really the industry orthodoxy. But for the first time, you have newscasters and smart people and leading members of the intelligentsia who are actually asking tough questions about vaccine development." The message, once fringe, was now mainstream. Next, Kennedy conflated disparate anxieties to suggest a broad conspiracy to control free-thinking Americans. "We're seeing an onslaught of authoritarian clampdown and a giant shift of wealth from the middle class, which is just being obliterated by the quarantine, to the wealthiest people, the people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and all of the people who kind of own Silicon Valley and own 5G, and many of them also own vaccines." In one breath, Kennedy managed to evoke our deepest societal fears and resentments and associate them with outlandish fantasies, such as that Microsoft founder Bill Gates had sneaked microchips into the vaccine, or that COVID-19 was actually caused by the advent of 5G cellular infrastructure. He offered both problems and imagined reasons for the existence of those problems. This jumbling of a visceral sense of powerlessness and a little bit of fact, yawning wealth inequality is real, with an overload of nonsense serves to create a more general distrust of institutions such as the news media and the CDC, which are cast as agents of authoritarianism. This is a tried and true strategy not limited to vaccines. It is no coincidence that there is substantial crossover between anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists who believe a global cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles have taken over the government and the media, elections are being stolen, the 9/11 terrorist attacks were an inside job, and the first black U.S. president was born on foreign soil. These worlds are intertwined. Conspiracy theories further proliferate in times of crisis to explain complex and threatening situations. As a recent study out of Europe found, for instance, those who already espoused conspiracist ideologies were more likely to believe hydroxychloroquine was a useful preventative against COVID-19. This phenomenon was pronounced during the Trump administration, but it is not exclusive to the right wing of the Republican Party. Vaccine hesitancy is something of a bridge between the far left and the far right, where similar characteristics of feeling under attack and needing to defend one's individualism manifest in sentiments of, "That's my truth," and "Don't tread on me," respectively. Kennedy, for instance, is a Democrat and has been a staunch critic of Republican policies, especially those of former President George W. Bush. Yet Trump invited Kennedy to be chairman of a White House task force to review vaccine safety. Their common ground? Both men gain from promoting vaccine hesitancy, one politically, the other financially. When people are scared and distrustful of establishment sources, complicated science, and evolving medicine, those offering answers, however convoluted, stand to make a fortune, and they do. Aside from being a member of a fabled political dynasty, Kennedy is a Harvard-educated environmental lawyer with a storied track record of taking on industrial polluters. He's written many books, including a couple of bestsellers and children's books. But he is also the founder and chairman of Children's Health Defense, which is one of the leading drivers of misinformation about vaccines, delivered through content and advertising on Facebook and other social media. In that role, Kennedy collects a $255,000 a year salary, according to the nonprofit's most recently available tax filings. That's on top of whatever he makes from his various other endeavors, including books devoted to dubious claims about vaccines and attacks on prominent scientists such as Dr. Anthony Fauci. With millions a year in donations, Children's Health Defense ramped up its advertising and produced videos and films spreading innuendo and misinformation from the onset of the COVID pandemic, sometimes targeting minority communities. Before social media companies began to crack down on vaccine misinformation in 2021, Kennedy and the nonprofit boasted almost 2 million followers across platforms including Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, according to an analysis by the Center for Countering Digital Hate, an international nonprofit that tracks the online spread of racist propaganda and medical misinformation. As the pandemic hit, Kennedy, with his famous surname and organization, became arguably the leading voice of the anti-vaccine movement. He helped spread, in addition to the Bill Gates computer chip and 5G conspiracies, the dangerous lie that the flu shot is 2.4 times more deadly than COVID-19. The CCDH analyzed the pandemic activities of Kennedy and other members of the group they dubbed the Disinformation Dozen in a 2021 report. Pandemic Profiteers, the Business of Anti-Vax. The group found that this dirty dozen account for about 65% of all anti-vaccine propaganda spread on Facebook and Twitter. Kennedy's far from the biggest beneficiary of commoditized lies. That designation falls to an osteopath named Joseph Mercola. Based in Cape Coral, Florida, Mercola runs the world's most popular alternative health news site, which urges visitors to reject consensus medical advice and treatments in lieu of mega doses of vitamins, unproven supplements, or equipment, which he conveniently sells on his Mercola marketplace. His website is the fulcrum of a larger network of businesses and subsidiary websites that sell books, health foods, marketing services, hemp oil for dogs, and more. He oversees about 159 employees in the United States and in the Philippines, according to news reports. This network of private companies has given Mercola a net worth in excess of $100 million. In the 15 years leading up to COVID-19, federal regulators had cited or sued Mercola for false health claims numerous times. Yet nothing stopped Mercola from using COVID-19 to further grow his empire. He set up StopCovidCold.com to market vitamin D supplements as a COVID-19 preventative. Vitamin D, which our bodies make for free with sunlight, has long been a profit driver for Mercola, who marketed and sold expensive tanning beds as a solution to address vitamin D deficiency. Customers who tanned more, he claimed, could slash the risk of cancer and attain a clearer skin tone and a more youthful appearance. Tanning beds increase the risk of cancer, according to science and reason. The Federal Trade Commission sued Mercola for those claims and accused him of paying an organization called the Vitamin D Council to promote his tanning beds and systems. In 2016, Mercola settled the case and agreed to pay back $2.6 million to more than 1,000 customers who bought his tanning systems. In April 2020, Mercola promoted the at-home inhalation of small amounts of hydrogen peroxide as a treatment for COVID-19. In a testament to his reach and knack for going viral, the hydrogen peroxide nebulizer treatment became an alarming trend on social media sites well into 2021. Many months after his first articles and videos promoting the treatment appeared, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America deployed its own meme-oriented social media campaign warning against the treatment, which can damage the lungs. Mercola's reach is difficult to discern, but the CCDH estimated he directly reached about 4 million people through social media during the worst of the pandemic. From there, content is shared online and word-of-mouth spreads like, well, a virus. Pulling from available records, that group estimated his empire brought in about $7 million during that time, though it's probably more. Despite loads of reporting discrediting his claims and pointing to Mercola's history, his book, titled The Truth About COVID-19, would become a bestseller, recommended by Amazon.com's algorithm as the virus continued to take American lives. Mercola also spoke at that October 2020 convent of anti-vaxxers, just before Kennedy, though he spent his 2 hours talking less about conspiracies and more about supplements and products, referring viewers to websites where they could learn more and potentially buy stuff. His presentation hinted at the symbiotic relationships that exist among those who get rich peddling pseudoscience and misinformation. They collaborate, feed off each other, and share revenue. Many of the big players in the misinformation racket collect fees by referring susceptible people to each other's products and propaganda, just as Instagram influencers get a cut when people click through to products they endorse. Their interconnectivity goes well beyond business. Mercola's partner, Erin Elizabeth, is also among the disinformation dozen. She's responsible for spreading memes targeting worried mothers with claims such as, hydroxychloroquine was more thoroughly tested than the vaccines they want to mandate on your baby. Married couple Ty and Charlene Bollinger have made millions by producing and selling multi-part documentaries directly to consumers. For $199 to $499, depending on the package, customers can absorb hours of anti-vaccination propaganda as part of the Bollinger's The Truth About Vaccines 2020 series. According to the couple, people ate it up. The couple claims to have sold tens of millions of dollars of products and paid out $12 million to affiliates. By fall 2020, the couple boasted nearly 2 million direct followers on social media, where, among other lies, they spread a debunked story that the COVID vaccine was responsible for several deaths in the West African country of Senegal. Another couple, Sayer G. and Kelly Brogan, each manage their own branded misinformation operations. Brogan claims to be a practitioner of holistic psychiatry and has contributed to and been featured by Goop, actress Gwyneth Paltrow's cultishly confounding New Age lifestyle brand. Through videos and posts on her website, Brogan promotes the notion that diseases are not caused by infectious agents, but rather, it's all in our heads. In the first weeks of the pandemic, Brogan denied the existence of COVID-19 altogether, stating, "There is potentially no such thing." She was among the first to raise the specter that requiring proof of a vaccine to travel or engage in other social activities was part of a U.S. government conspiracy to gain totalitarian governmental control, not unlike the divide-and-conquer dehumanization agendas that preceded the Holocaust. It is a small comfort that she acknowledges the Holocaust happened, I suppose. The CCDH estimated the anti-vaccine industry brings in about $36 million a year. That figure, based on a small window into the finances of private companies that pop up in court filings and other rare disclosures, is almost certainly an underestimate. By the center's count, the anti-vaccine industry employed at least 266 people. What's more, using publicly available data and industry benchmarks, the center estimates that the anti-vaccine industry's social media following of 62 million accounts equates to about $1 billion a year in revenue to companies like Facebook and Twitter. The social media celebrities picked out in that report are but a few who participated in the spread of misinformation related to the coronavirus and vaccines. None responded to my requests for comment. It is impossible to reliably account for the personal riches wrought by such betrayals of fact and reason. And its damage to the nation's pandemic response is immeasurable. But we can measure how much taxpayers spent to help screw ourselves. Several of the leading misinformation peddlers took advantage of small business loans, many of them forgivable, offered by the federal government as part of the CARES Act. The Paycheck Protection Program gave out at least $1.5 million to the cottage industry, according to federal data. Kennedy's Children's Health Defense received more than $145,000, all of which was forgiven by the federal government. In other words, it was free money, a gift from the American people. Mercola's businesses alone collected $617,000 in taxpayer money, according to federal data. More than half of that, $335,000 granted to his Mercola.com website, was forgiven. The Bollingers applied for loans through TTAC Publishing, which stands for The Truth About Cancer, which spreads dubious claims about cancer treatment. They got nearly $474,000. More than half of it was forgiven, according to a ProPublica database tracking PPP loans. Brogan and her husband were granted about $56,000 and $48,000, respectively. All of it was forgiven. The federal government has the power to forgive such monetary debt. Moral debt, that rests with a higher power.